Reading the life and the adventures of a haunted convict today, in our era of mass incarceration and militarized policing, we immediately feel the force of Austin Reed's protest against the horrors of New York's House of Refuge and the Auburn State Prison. However, like the best of memoirs, this fascinating book has no one single task. Composed when the author was in his mid-30s, it attempts to make sense of his life since his early childhood. Reed was not born into slavery, but as we get to know him in his pages, we are well aware that he is a young African-American attempting to find his way in the antebellum United States. Like many of his contemporaries, enslaved, fugitive, and free, the story Reed had to tell was one of harsh oppression and grinding exploitation. It was also the story of the development of his own mind. Carefully authenticated by Caleb Smith and a team of researchers from Yale University and elsewhere, Reed's book can now be placed in the great literary tradition that has rendered black life and experience from the first-person point of view. By 1858, when Reed concluded his account, the tradition already included a rich variety of slave narratives, poems, sermons, speeches, and works of fiction. But there was nothing quite like this sustained treatment of African-American life inside the prison system that was just taking its modern shape. As Reed's memoir circles back again and again to Rochester, New York, we are especially intrigued to consider him alongside another African-American writer who has been central to our own scholarship on the tradition. Frederick Douglass escaped from slavery in the South and, in time, took up residence in Reed's home city. In a trilogy of autobiographical works, Douglass offered some of the most memorable castigations of American slavery ever written. "Such is the constitution of the human mind," he wrote in 1855, "that when pressed to extremes, it often avails itself of the most opposite methods. Extremes meet in mind as in matter." Looking back on his experience as a slave child on a Maryland plantation, Douglass remembered a world of stark opposites, all but unalterable extremes he had to learn to navigate and survive. The plantation south of his childhood was a place of beauty and evil, of decadence and production, both his playground and his prison. Douglass's rendering of slavery is full of prison metaphors. As he became more aware of his predicament, he tried desperately to protect his body from destruction and to preserve his mind from disintegration. Douglass famously told the story of his rise from bondage into freedom. Reed's story moves in the opposite direction, describing his fall from a tenuous liberty into the isolation and torment of incarceration. In this way, the life and the adventures of a haunted convict provokes us to reconsider 19th century African-American literature, and indeed, the long arc of American history. Reading Austin Reed in the 21st century, we see how the formal abolition of Southern slavery may not have secured the liberty that Douglass risked everything to obtain for himself and many thousands more. Even before the Civil War, the Free North was already building the penal system that now imprisons nearly a million African Americans. A century and a half after emancipation, one in three black men will spend time under confinement in America's prisons and jails. Reed came of age inside some of the earliest institutions of penal captivity, and he had his own ideas about freedom, which seemed always to be receding beyond his grasp. In the meantime, he did his best to hold on to the elements of a life, physical safety, a basic education, and a sense of belonging. Two of Douglass's insights have special resonance as we study Reed's pages. First, thinking in part about his own childhood, Douglass declares that all slaves are orphans. Douglass never knew the true identity of his father, although it was likely one of his first two owners. And after the age of six, he never again saw his mother, Harriet Bailey.